I don't know if you've ever observed this, but there is a three-letter word that our children somehow learn how to say that drives just about every parent, every adult, trying to have a conversation with them absolutely nuts. In fact, it can bring, and it probably has brought, some of you to your breaking point. Let me help you out a little bit with an example of this. Let's say you are getting ready to head out the door. And so you give your child one specific instruction. You say something like, it's time to go. I want you to put your shoes on. And they respond with the three-letter word that drives every parent nuts. What is that word? Any guesses?
Why?
Why? Wow, you guys know this one, right? And so you're trying to answer, well, it's time to go. We are heading out the door. We're supposed to be there by 4 o'clock. And they say, why? All right. And so you're saying, well, that's the time that they chose to get married. And so we need to be sure that we are at the wedding on time. And they say,
why?
And you say, because mom and dad are officiating the wedding and we need to get out the door and we can't be late to the wedding. Otherwise, it won't start. And they say,
why?
And eventually this game goes on and on and on until you reach really deep down into your parenting toolbox and you pull out what? The definitive answer that solves all arguments is?
Because
I said so. There you go. That is our topic today. Because I said so. And I was thinking about it, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could pull that one out in other aspects of our life as well, like other areas of conflict? So you go to Walmart, and you see that something's on sale, and so you decide, hey, you know what, I don't really need that item, but hey, it's on sale. So I decide to pick up that item off the shelf, and I go up and I check out at the register, and there's a problem. It doesn't ring up for the price that you expect it to be. And so you say to the cashier, excuse me, but that's supposed to be $8.99, not $899. And they say, well, I'm sorry, we'll have to do a price check. But wouldn't it be great if instead of saying they're waiting for that price check, you could say it's $8.99 because I said so, right? That would be fantastic. You wouldn't have to wait. You wouldn't have to waste that time in line, especially when they, I mean, $8.99 versus $899. What's the difference, right? Or let's say you think it's time for a raise. And so you go and you knock on your boss's door and you go in, and if you're self-employed, I don't know what you're going to do here, but you knock on the door and you talk to your boss and you say, hey, you know what, I've been working really hard, I think I deserve the raise, and they say, why? And you say, because I said so, and suddenly your salary doubles. I mean, that would be wonderful. Who would argue with that? Or maybe you come home for dinner and you ask the question, what's for dinner? And they say, well, we're having casserole. And you say, oh man, I was really hoping for pizza. They say, why? And you say, because I said so. And voila, you have pizza for dinner. Actually, you can have pizza for lunch if you come to our house at church today. But anyway, or maybe this solution doesn't quite work to solve all of life's conflicts, does it? But often, even though we don't necessarily say those words, say to our spouses or to our boss or our employer or our best friend or our coworker, sometimes this is the answer that we kind of resort to in our relationships, leaving us unable to really listen to the other person and to respond, right? I don't know if you realize this. I don't have these key points to fill in the blanks on the screen here, but if you do have your message notes here, this is clue number one. No one wants to be in a dictatorship when you're not the one who's in charge, right? It's fine to be in a dictatorship if you're the dictator and everybody else is going to run around and do what you say. I mean, it's kind of fun. Like Scott was helping out today and be like, hey, Scott, can you put that speaker over here? Can you do that over there as we're scrambling? It's fun to be in the dictatorship when you're the one in charge, but it's not so fun. No one wants to be in a dictatorship when you're not the one in charge. And when it comes to our personal relationships, it's almost as if we have forgotten what it's like to negotiate, to work things out. Like, Melissa accuses me of this often, where I might have great grace and compassion with other people and working through other frustrations and other aspects of my life. But when it comes to something not quite going right at home, I can respond in a completely different way. Anybody else relate? I treat you like that? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, but I will work on that. Melissa knows I'm a work in progress, right? Relationships are bound to experience some sort of conflict, some sort of tension at some point in time, right? Because if someone claims to never fight, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. They're either lying to you, or they really don't care. Right? Because if you think about that, if there's something that you care about, if there's something you are passionate about, if you highly value something, you highly value the relationship, there's bound to be some conflicts from time to time. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that every conflict needs to erupt into an enormous fight. I mean, there are ways to work through and to resolve that conflict, but we all will experience them. And when conflict comes, often we typically have two responses that kick in. What are they? You guys, let's see how well you know my message. The two responses, when conflict arises, we either fight or flight, right? Those are the two responses. We either will fight in the situation, we'll duke it out, or we will run away from the situation and try to avoid conflict altogether. But what if there was a better way? What if there was a better way that we could work through our differences? So you're here today at Crossroads Church, which we might make some assumptions that if you are here today, you probably might somewhat value what's in God's Word about resolving conflicts. I don't know. Maybe you just came because you're David's brother and you owe him a favor, and so you brought your band down to help out. But we probably, okay, let's say we're curious as to what Scripture says about it. And so you decide, I'm going to open up the Bible and I'm going to start reading the Bible. And so you start at the beginning, you start flipping the pages, going and scrolling through, and you're going, okay, what does Scripture say about conflict? And all of a sudden you come to this passage that says, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. And you think, well, there we go. Justice. Justice is mine, all right? If you harm me, if you cause me harm, I'm going to fight right back. And I'm going to amount the same kind of pain on you that you inflicted. Okay, you're looking at me like that's not a good idea. But it's in Scripture, right? So maybe some of you are saying, well, Gordon, you don't understand. You need to go a little bit further. If you open up to this other section of your Bible, it's called the New Testament. And in there are these things called the Gospels. And in the Gospels, we have the words of Jesus. All right, so you're flipping through, you're reading through the words of Jesus, and you come up to a passage where it says, if your brother goes ahead and strikes you on the cheek, you should... Oh, thank you so much, David. You're right, you tear the other cheek also, right? And sometimes when we look at that, we're like, oh, well, is that the Christian thing is just to get beat up? Like I'm just supposed to take the punches from everyone, and I'm not supposed to respond? And you're kind of thinking like, I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean here, Jesus. I'm not quite sure I fully understand what it means to turn the other cheek, and how do I work through conflict in a healthy way where I can keep my sanity and I don't get beat up and I'm not beating somebody else up. So what did Jesus really mean, and how is it that we can work through conflict in such a way that we can still love God, we can still love others, and we can still love ourselves, right? Well, when it comes to relationships we care about the most, there is no win unless everyone wins. There is no win unless everyone wins. Again, if you're following along in those message notes, or if you need to grab, we've got them on the back table there if you want to take some notes to take home in a process, or maybe you know somebody that should be here today, but they're not here, and so you, hey, look what I learned in church today, hint, hint, right? No. Then we're going to have another conversation about conflict. Okay, there is no win unless everyone wins. And today we're going to look at how we can address the conflicts around us and work towards win-win solutions. So we've been doing this message series here at Crossroads called The Family Feud, and each week we take a look at some common family feuds that pop up in our relationships, whether it's relationships as parents, relationships that we might have with our children, our siblings, maybe it's a relationship we have a spouse, or a co-worker, but these family feuds tend to come up. And the first one we talked about was simply that there is no time for that. And we share the great big Christian lie, what John Fisher calls the great big Christian lie, and that is the belief that someone out there somewhere is getting it right and I am not. And we realize that that's often the standard that we judge ourselves by. Like, somebody else has figured out their life is perfect, my life is not perfect, woe is me, I'm terrible. And so we kind of get frustrated, we give up. And we realize, and we talked about the fact that God's not looking for a perfect finished product yet. God is interested in that person who's in process, who is on the journey to becoming what God desires for their life. And we realize that the best thing we can do when there's no time for that is simply to make the most of the opportunities we've been given and to season them with grace. Grace for ourselves and grace for those we care about. Last week, we had a wonderful message on communication. I say wonderful because Melissa and I co-preached. That's a wonderful experiment, right? But we had co-preached last week for a fall kickoff at Firehouse for Real, and we talked about the topic of communication. That family feud of, you never said that, or I never said that. How many times does that come up in your relationship? We don't need to confess. It comes up often, doesn't it? And I love this key point that Pastor Melissa shared when we were working on this message and shared last week. She said, you can change the course of your relationship by the way you communicate. You can change the course of your relationship by the way you choose to communicate. Well, today we're looking at conflict and how we can work towards a win-win solution. And you might be wondering, like, okay, what is this all about? Why does this even matter? Right? Why do we have to talk about, why do we have to take time in church on a Sunday to talk about how we can work through conflict? I'm in the flight category. I'm just going to flee. In fact, I saw you eyeing the back door already. Right? Well, here's the first thing. Some of you are the fighters. Anybody want to confess? Are you a fighter? When conflict arises, we have some brave, okay, I'm going to avoid you. Oh, shoot, I already slapped David, so I'm in trouble. So some of us out there might be fighters. And here's something that you might want to hear, all right? Is that you can't fight your way to a better relationship. You can't fight your way to a better relationship, right? Because what do fights have? If you're thinking about a boxing fight, what are there? There's going to be a winner, and there's going to be a loser, right? And you might be thinking, well, what if both are equally, let's say, good, and there isn't a clear-cut winner, and it ends in a draw, well, then what do you have? You don't have a winner, you have two losers, right? And the problem when we come to a relationship struggle, when we come to conflict, and we're just going to duke it out, and we're going to fight our way out, is that you can't fight your way to a better relationship. How many of you can say your relationship is better today because of all the fights and arguments that you have that have gone unresolved? Right? And you've just stood up and you've stood your way and you've said, because I said so, and pretty soon you've found yourself in a lonely place, right? You can't fight your way to a better relationship. Now, if there are a few handfuls that were saying they're fighters, there's a few of you that are probably flighters, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I'm afraid what will happen, right? So some of us are in that category where we would just rather all avoid conflict altogether. And here's something that I think we need to hear, if that's you, is that you cannot sacrifice your way to a better relationship either. Right? Sometimes we make sacrifices in our relationships, but if you are the person who is constantly making a sacrifice in order to appease the situation, you might discover that that peace doesn't last very long, does it? There's something else, there's another source of conflict that comes up, there's another fight, there's another argument, and eventually, if you are the one who's always making that sacrifice, you feel taken for granted. You feel like the other person doesn't appreciate you, they don't understand. In fact, here's the truth. They probably don't even recognize the sacrifices that you have made. And if you decide that it's time to speak up, it's time to say something about it, well, how is that going to be met? Right? The fighter is going, what? I can't believe it. Pastor, she went completely berserk on me. She won't let me just do whatever I want anymore. And suddenly she's saying that I don't treat her right. Right? And suddenly we find ourselves in a situation of trouble because the truth is you can't sacrifice your way to a better relationship either. So if you can't fight your way to a better relationship, and you can't sacrifice your way to a better relationship, what can we do? Well, you can fight for the relationships that matter the most to you. Do you hear the difference there? Instead of just fighting in your relationships, what if we started fighting for our relationships? What if we started fighting for those that we cared about? What if we started working together as a team, working towards a common goal? Because you know what? Sometimes you might have those days where you say, honey, I love you, but I don't really like you very much right now, but I'm willing to fight for us. I'm willing to fight for the relationship. I'm willing to go through those hard moments because I care. Because I care about this, because this is important to me, and our relationship is important to me, and so I'm willing to fight for us. You focus on the solution instead of the problem, and you start working on a solution that everyone can agree upon, moving in the same direction towards a desired goal that you share in common. And so what might that look like? Well, okay, we are a church. We are going to turn to God's Word today. And so if you do have your Bibles with us, with you today, our key passage is going to come from 1 Peter chapter 3. If you'd like to borrow a Bible, we do have some Bibles that are free to anybody that would like a Bible on our back welcome table. So we can feel free to grab a Bible now or later. But we're going to be looking at a passage in which Peter is addressing common household relationships. And at the end of this section, we find these verses beginning in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter writes, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers and sisters. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." You see, Peter is identifying what it might look for us. He says, be like-minded. In other words, in a win-win situation, you are going to identify the goal that you hold in common and the goal that you want to work towards. And so you want to take some time to figure out what is our goal for this relationship? What is our desired outcome for this moment? He tells us to be sympathetic and to be compassionate. What does that mean? Well, it means holding the other person's perspective in highest regard. Instead of just focusing on your needs and your perspective, it means taking that time to listen, to care for, to understand, to empathize with the other person. He encourages us to be humble, to be willing to admit our part. We need to be willing to admit our part and to ask for forgiveness. And he says, do not repay evil with evil, but give a blessing instead of seeking retribution. Why? Because when you give a blessing instead of a curse, you will find that that relationship is going to be blessed instead of cursed. If we just go around cursing one another, you probably know where those arguments lead, right? We've been in those kind of conversations. But as soon as you can turn the table a little bit and begin to give a blessing, that relationship softens, and you can see things turn. Peter goes on to, he continues by quoting Psalm 34. And so this quote says, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." Now, anybody here desire good days in your relationship? Yeah, I mean, we all want to have good days in our relationship. We all want to have that kind of relationship that thrives, whether it's a relationship with a spouse, or a sibling, or a friend. We want to thrive in our relationships. And so the psalmist encourages us to keep our tongues from evil, to refrain from doing harm, to do good, to honor those, to love those, to bless those around us, and to seek peace and pursue it. You might be familiar with the passage from the book of Romans 12, verses 17 and 18. Paul says, "As far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone." I love that. As far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. But what exactly does that mean? We're not talking about trying to sacrifice your way to a better relationship. We're not talking about giving in so somebody else might have their way. That doesn't produce the kind of peace that lasts. Instead, we are talking about, as Paul says later in 2 Corinthians 8:21, to take the pain to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of others. Not just to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, but to do what's right in the eyes of those whose relationships we care about. You see, we cannot live at peace with everyone if our solution violates God's standards. If our solution violates God's desire for our life, we're not going to discover peace. We cannot live at peace with everyone if our solution is going to cause harm to the other person, if our solution is going to cause harm to our neighbor. And we cannot live at peace with everyone if we ourselves do not have peace. If we do not have peace. That's why we cannot simply go around ignoring the issues, pretending they do not exist. You see, peace is achieved only when we come to the table with a win-win solution. With a win-win solution. So maybe you're here today, and you feel like, you know what, Pastor, I've been locked in that battle for a while. I have that relationship. I haven't talked to my sister for years. You know what, we're not getting along too well at home right now. The kids hear us arguing, and I just don't know how to get through to my son or to my daughter. We've all been in those moments where it feels like we've been locked in a battle. And as I was preparing for this message, I came across five common stages that a marriage will go through. And you might be there in that spot where you're not quite sure how you're going to get through it. You might be discouraged or feel isolated, alone. And you wonder what ever happened to that happily ever after that you were hoping for. But I hope that these stages might give us some encouragement to recognize as well. The first stage is the romance stage. Now, we do have newlyweds with us, so we have Maggie Bates is here for the first time today, because prior to that, she was coming as Maggie Drager. So we do have newlyweds here, so some you may have realized this, but if you remember back what it was like just a couple weeks after your wedding day, you might remember how romantic he was, right? He took you for flights on the airplane. Maybe you'd bring home fresh flowers from the grocery store on the way home. Do wonderful things. He was Prince Charming, right? And everything was perfect. And you know what, David? She doesn't even see those flaws yet. So you are golden right now. You are in this romantic stage where the sun is always shining. Life is grand. But then after the honeymoon, you come back and start to decrease in altitude, and eventually your feet reach a place in your relationship where they land back on the ground, don't they? And it's almost like you can become disillusioned because suddenly Prince Charming is not so charming anymore. And suddenly you realize that your reality doesn't exactly fit the expectations that you once had for your relationship. And soon a power struggle ensues in that relationship. And at this stage, you might reach that point where each of you is trying to speak up for your own needs, your own desires for your relationships. And of course, as could be expected, conflict arises. Conflict might even explode as you wrestle over things that matter the most to you. But if you are here today and you feel like you are locked in a power struggle, you might just be at the crossroads you need to be at in your life. For this might just be the turning point for your relationship. Because you see, many couples reach this point, and they have a name for it. And I realize I might be stepping on some toes here, right? This name that we call this moment in a relationship sometimes is referred to as irreconcilable differences. We reach this point where the fighting becomes so intense that we're not quite sure what to do, and we don't see any way out. And we might even be tempted to move on. But you know something? I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. Those struggles have a way of following us around, don't they? That if there was something that maybe I struggled with in my past, at any given point in time, it might show up again in my future. And we have a worship team here that helps lead Celebrate Recovery worship, often working with people that are breaking free from addiction. And you know very well, you've seen that instruction of how some of those old patterns, that old past, have a way of following us around and coming back to us. Which is why we celebrate that we are on a recovery journey, because our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author of our hope. And so we come to this point in our relationship that if we can press through that power struggle, we come to a realization an awakening in our relationships as we continue to mature and to work through those struggles. Doesn't mean they always get resolved the way we hope, but we work through our struggles, and there comes this moment of awakening in our lives where even after and through the power of struggle, we become more self-aware. And we begin to develop those tools that will help carry our relationships on to the next level. You work on the things that you can control instead of worrying about the things that are out of your control. And finally, there is the stage of the long-term marriage, the long-term relationship, that as your relationship grows and matures, you recognize the commitment that you have made to one another. And you become a mentor, an encourager to those around you. You see, the presence of conflict doesn't need to mean that the relationship is over. Instead, it might just be the turning point that helps drive your relationship to a new and even better future. So let's work on a win-win by engaging our conflicts with conversation, by identifying goals for a relationship and establishing guidelines that will help us discover a win-win solution, by working towards and making negotiations safe and pleasant, by bringing clarity to the conversation, to the situation, by identifying the conflict from both perspectives, and by brainstorming with abandon possible solutions. Not evaluating, but brainstorming and trying to come up with ways that we can work this out. And choosing a solution that everyone can agree upon and support. Because, as Pastor Melissa, what was that phrase that we kind of picked out last week in our own miscommunications where it means I will probably, let's see, sure, right? When Pastor Melissa tells me, sure, dear, I said it means proceed with caution because I might regret it later. You know that if you don't have the full support of one another, if you're not working on the same page towards that solution, you know that it's likely to fail if you're not on the same page. It might be difficult, but winning in relationships is hard work. And winning in our relationships should mean that everyone wins, especially when it comes to conflict, because no one wins unless everyone wins. Let us pray. God, we confess that so many times we have wanted to exert our own will. To say, because I said so. God, you know how much we struggle when we don't get our way, when we don't get the things we desire and want. And yet, God, in this moment, we realize our own brokenness today. God, I pray that if there's anybody here who's been locked in that power struggle, I pray, Lord, that you would give them a word of hope. Maybe they've been struggling and searching and wondering where you are, wondering how they can resolve things. And God, I pray that in this moment, that you would indeed remind them that you are with them. One of the great things about our faith is we celebrate the fact that we have a God who has loved us, who has given himself for us to pay for all of our sins, to pay for our past conflicts so that we might have forgiveness and the grace we need to be the people that God has called us to be. So if that is you today, you've been searching whether it's for a fresh start, a new start, for the first time in your life, I invite you to simply pray this simple prayer, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. God, you know the struggles we've been through. You know what we have faced. And God, you know also the celebrations and the triumphs that you have helped us to discover. And God, as we work to be better people, as we work to improve the relationships around us, may you continue to give us the perspective to see all the ways that you are at work in us and through us and around us. God, help us to be the people that you have called us to be, to live in your grace, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.